Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. Thank you for continuing to support this content. Please subscribe, comment, and share. The media industry in South Africa has undergone major challenges and changes in the last few years, not least because of the growth of social media. Big newspaper titles have either shut down or gone fully digital, while many others have shrunk substantially. Although broadcast media is not doing that badly, we cannot discount that platforms like podcasts with content on demand have done to audiences or audience ratings very bad. If this is happening to mainstream media, what could be the impact on community media? To answer this, I have decided to invite another friend of mine, Fresh Aku, who is Chief Executive Officer of the Media Development and Diversity Agency, the agency tasked with developing and strengthening community media. Dumela khaitsedi. I'm seeing you for the second time in a short space of time. Utswe lang lothong ke botse ke ka wena.
Wena betsa ka nna fela ha o fitla mano o tla tshwa re ke betsa ka khaitsedi ena.
It's a rolo fela. Thank you for coming.
Che, hole bile nna.
So, my introduction is what I thought I could say about the MDDA, but I'm sure you can say it better. Who are you and what do you guys do?
So the MDDA has a big mandate, one of ensuring that there's sustainability within the media landscape in South Africa, but also diversity is important. You speak about where we come from as a country, where you only had a few titles that were owned by your big brands. Otahopola Nagunza with Johnny Cole and your...
Before then, San.
Yes. You had the independent newspapers, Kexton, and obviously News 24, prevails. But there were fewer to almost no existing community-based local news publications which were publishing stories in languages that resonated with the communities and that impacted those communities.
Yes.
And I'm not saying there weren't any. I think there were very few.
Yeah.
The same happened with broadcasting. You had very few broadcasters anchored by the public broadcaster, and then there were a few commercial broadcasters that you had. So we come in through a legislation that then says there's a need to increase ownership and control of media in this country and ensure that there's plurality. So that when you open up a media platform, you aren't just hearing people speaking only one language or you aren't seeing a particular archetype of people. And I think in the past 24 years of existence for the MDDA, we have seen growth in the number of community and small commercial publications, in the number of community radio broadcasters, as well as community television. But the challenge remains the sustainability of these media projects because there's competition. Kwena Enwa, you are on podcast and you are all competing for the ear and the eye of one
the same
consumer.
Human being.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what came with that as well is this shift from your traditional advertising platform, which went onto the digital platforms. So we are in both interesting time, it's explosive, opportunities are everywhere, but there's also constraints that challenge the traditional media as we know it.
Whew, that's very broad. Where do I start now? But by the way, for the record, I'm a product of community media.
Hooray!
Right?
Oh,
so
which one?
My radio life started in this radio station called Bua, which later merged with Soweto FM to create Jozi FM.
The original.
So I come from the original many years ago.
So that's
my past, right?
Before
I went to commercial radio and stuff like this.
So I know the legend value. That you are.
I'm not sure about that. Especially my bank account can attest to that. So I know the value of community media. I know what it does. Mm. But the question, though, is have you seen success? Over the 24 years of the MDDA, have you seen that you guys are making an impact?
There's definitely an impact. The MDDA invests in community media to ensure that there's impact in the community. One of the questions we have to answer is, can we measure the socioeconomic impact that the community media, broadcasters and publishers make in the societies they live in. We have a constitution that guarantees access to information, and we know for a fact that informed people make better decisions. And we know that communities play, community broadcasters and publishers play a big role in disseminating information to those communities. So that's one area where we're saying there's definitely impact, that we are able to see these media channels providing this vehicle for access to information. But what we've also seen is this growth of young talent who wouldn't have otherwise gotten an opportunity to make it to commercial broadcasting, who then grow through community media to become established broadcasters. Some of them don't end up like you here, where you know, your journey has
really... They end up better, yeah.
Well, I don't know about better, but they end up becoming spokespeople or, you know, strategic communicators in various areas. So it does provide this door through which people can enter this media landscape in South Africa. But also, we can look at the economic impact in the areas where these community stations are. Let's look, for example, at Radio Zibonele, which I do have a bias towards because my journey also started there as a field reporter. But they also run programs within the community. They've got a feature on small businesses. They've got workshops that target small businesses, but they also have a training academy focusing on media skills, but also sales and marketing. And so they are able to grow. They have attached other products to your traditional media where the business would have otherwise been selling radio airtime. So you can see that there is impact in various areas within lives and communities. And I think the MDDA is proud that in the past over 20 years, we've supported or at least provided over 500 interventions to enable the community media sector to continue in the various work that it does. And this is mainly through the grant funding we do, but we also have capacity building initiatives where we train community media journalists and practitioners in various skills to ensure that they are able to deliver the work and the product that's of high quality, but also engage into their audiences.
I should have asked this earlier, because I want to get it out of the way, because before you get into tougher things, and then it will get tougher. Who funds you?
So the MDDA is a public-private partnership.
Okay.
We are born out of a commitment by the South African commercial broadcasters as well as the printers to say there's a need to support media diversity. The majority of our funding comes from the commercial broadcasters through a universal access levy. This is 0.2% of their revenue. Less their cost of signal distribution and associated. And that accounts for a bulk of our own income. We are also funded by the Fiscus, and that accounts for over 40% of the money we receive to run the operations of the business. Of course, there are projects that we run that are special projects where there are opportunities to then fund specific projects like the Economic Development Fund, which we ran coming from the Competition Commission. We also have partnerships with institutions like MIC, CETA. And so that would account for the remainder then of the overall budget that the agency has to run its mandate.
Let's go back to then what we were on earlier. Is it by design that a lot of these community media are almost like revolving doors for young, inexperienced talent to come in, get out, go elsewhere so that the next group may come in? Is it by design?
You know, I actually used to trouble me that at the start of each year, you are going to get young people coming in, either right from university looking for skills to get into the sector or out of high school looking for something to do while they wait for their next. And those would leave. It troubled me because it meant that we would not be able to professionalize the sector, because as soon as you get that talent,
gone,
out the door, they are gone.
Well, they send in their if they are in broadcasting, they send in their demos every day somewhere.
Of course,
course. Yeah. And they must.
They must.
They
right?
must. They yeah. need to. So I would say it is the natural cause of running that business in the model that it currently exists in. And I think the commercial media appreciates that because they do know that they too would source talent from their communities.
Yeah.
I do think there's an opportunity to then structure training interventions to prepare for that type of exit.
Yes.
That we know for a fact that we are training you for 1 year, second, the third year, you are most likely going to leave to a commercial broadcaster or to another business. Mm-hmm. And so if our approach is pragmatic, then as those who came in leave, the next one come, and then we maintain the standard of professionalism.
But you wouldn't have much sway over there because you don't own the stations, right? You're a support agency.
Absolutely.
They're independent. So you can't even say to them, this is how you should run your business.
No, we couldn't. And you know, so it really is a partnership. So our capacity building initiatives are always in partnership with the community media sector. Mm. Presently, we have episodic support. It's not structured to accommodate this reality that someone's going to come in at some point, they will leave, a new person must be trained. And so if collaboratively we agreed on a structure where the MDDA, with the capacity building initiatives that we run and through those that we do with partners, we know that annually we are going to deliver training on introduction to journalism, for example. Yeah. We are going to do sales and marketing every year. We are going to do the Google Hustle Academy for running small businesses every year. Understanding that there will be a gap that could exist or potentially will exist in the near future. So it has to be through tumelwano, tsebedisano mmoho,
yes,
collaboration.
You know,
I hope I'm bona, allowed to
wear a suit. Ah, hey.
Chiki handle hecha di tlapa cheka net. Thokonyana le zona. Eya.
Great. Yet, one would then, not yet. Do you sign checks to this community media? Do they receive money from you or do they just receive support like training and stuff like that? Do they get money? Actually?
So we do have an annual grant call, and this is a project that the board of the agency then is responsible for, where we will go out and assess those that have applied for funding. The funding they could be applying for the broadcasters could be capital investment into their studios. Mm-hmm. Because that's massive. Studio equipment is expensive.
It's very expensive.
And if you look at the revenue that comes through a community radio station versus that expense, it's almost prohibitively impossible for them to build their own studios. We then also support signal distribution. Some are self-distributing. Others are distributing through Centec. Mm-hmm. And we do support program-specific production in the year where they would be funded. And for the publishers, again, it will be supporting cost of printing, distribution, and also stipends for those who work within that media house or in the form of journalists. So there are resources that the agency allocates to the community media. And this is once a year that call's done. And then the board assesses post the recommendation that management would have made after we would have visited to see the needs on the ground and also opportunities for these community media projects to also sustain themselves. Because another challenge is this dependency on the funds.
Yeah.
And so we need to also deal with that. And so a way for us to ensure that we minimize dependency is this hybrid approach where we are saying, yes, you will receive the funding, but you also need to get the skills to run this as a business that's sustainable.
And then occasionally your grant money disappears. Guy will walk away with the money and the station gets to stand still, or the paper disappears because somebody walked with a check.
You know, so we haven't had a lot of instances where community media projects are not able to account for funds. Mm-hmm. I think we've also had to change how we approach community media. Our work is developmental.
Yeah.
And so we are not punitive in how we deal with instances of non-adherence to grant agreements we've entered into with these media projects. In instances, however, where a project is unable to account for the resources, we are obligated
to recover those funds. Yeah. And we will use all available options and resources to then go and recover the funds. Also, because it's the best thing to do for our country, that people must utilize resources for what they are meant for. And if you don't, the resources must be recovered. There was a change also in the powers of the AGSA, the Auditor General of South Africa. They can issue a finding on material irregularity, for example.
They do issue findings on municipalities. Everything stays the same year after year after year.
Well, you see, I think with the material irregularity, where the AGSA can hold directors or board members of institutions accountable, it does shift the game a little bit, in that there has to be an active action on the end of the entity, as it is for the MDDA, to recover the resources, but also ensure that the management of the resources in a grant implementation context is done fully. And so the team at the MDDA has to ensure that we are balanced and that we must implement these projects fully. We are mentoring and supporting these businesses who would otherwise maybe lack certain skills, to ensure they understand their role in accounting for their funds. But we also have an approach where you don't get all of the money at once. It's a disbursement that's based on a tranches, and you have to account for the first tranche before we move to the next. So there are some mechanisms or controls in place to minimize stealing, as you put it, or disappearing with the money.
That's called misuse.
Yes.
Okay, fasten your seatbelt now. Is this issue of diversity not a bit trivial? Is it? It's a wonderful thing to be said, but you know, is it not hiding behind dumbing down? I mean, some of the quality of what is out there is actually very poor, right? And I can imagine, with respect to the private sector, that some people are happy to pay that check and walk away, and they've paid towards diversity, but that diversity is actually substandard. I worry about that. I get some of the local newspapers. I listen to community radio. I still listen to a few. You know, Defomo TV is one of the people I listen to at the Val University of Technologies FM. So I listen to this thing. I listen to Josie FM. I do. But I'm saying, sometimes I sit there and I'm like, but we shouldn't be getting this. I don't care that you call yourself community media. You still are media.
I think Harabutseng, the community media practitioners, what are you doing to level up? Because we can do all of the work and provide the interventions. And yes, companies will come in and provide support for capacity building. But the people in these media houses must also make a decision of, why do they have that level of quality on air? I think it's a challenge because they have to play a role where they're providing training. There's few that are fortunate enough who would have volunteers that are in training and are utilizing Studio B before they can move on air. And then as soon as those ones get there, they're out. Not to even be on air sometimes, to be spokespeople. And then now you're bringing your B team on. So I almost want to say, no, it's not trivial to have diversity. But you need to also be a little bit gracious. Maybe even volunteer yourself to provide feedback, to help see the kind of growth we need within community media. But I think what came out of a research report we published in 2024 on the sustainability of the media was the professionalization of the sector. There's a gap for us to ensure that there's professionalization, not just the content you hear on air, but the back end, the preparation, the understanding of broadcasting, because some of the broadcasters or content producers will go in there never having seen any operations on a best ideal situation. When what do you do to put together the best show? you know, preparing the questions or possible questions, because you come here and then you have to come up with other questions because that conversation is taking you to a different direction. And so there's still a lot of work that needs to be put in. But I will say, I often listen to community media. And yes, I see those gaps, but I also see the opportunities to then reinvest. To say that, yes, we've done the training, but actually we need to go back. I think another gap that exists is that the training is provided for, and there's no one who is there to provide that professional oversight and feedback every day.
Okay, so they go in, get trained, they come back, deliver, but there's no oversight.
There's no feedback here. There's no... Luena, think about it. Hagiri Luena, sometimes you're listening, there's like, hey, you know, I was listening to that podcast of yours, Le Mang Mang. Haki sebe disema polova, because gimmoni ma
yes.
Okawila is a jenali jena.
Exactly.
You benefit from that.
Yeah.
But many of these community media practitioners do not have that. They don't have someone who's professional enough who can give them an ear. One of the calls I've been making is to those who come from various community stations to please just make time and give feedback to your community station. Volunteer an hour of your time in a week where you can maybe pick one show. Find a young broadcaster, a young journalist to mentor. Sakina Kamwendo on Morning Live, she could look at Eldos FM, and I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah,
I really am. you know the likes of Aldrin Sampier, who's
yes.
now spokesperson for the Minister of Tourism, comes from the East Rand.
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity for those stations to benefit from those skills that they have? And I think the need exists.
I like that.
But we must take up that week, Arabel, Lima Igemi says. So how am I going to get on with Mamela Ongole Fati and provide the feedback?
Yeah, I'm not going to... Yeah, I agree.
How about with that?
No, I agree. But and I'm not going to put problems ahead of trying, right? So I'm going to try. I promise you I will try.
Great, kitla utakawe.
So still on the diversity thing, and I'm going to go into content from a news point of view. Do the commercial media provide content? And let me explain what I mean. Sometimes I'm listening to the news on a community radio station, and I'm thinking, sparse, you know, could have heard more. On, and this story I would have heard elsewhere, couldn't that content be shared with them as part of their development making sure that, again, diversity does not mean
low
dumbing
quality.
Down.
Yeah. So there's something that the MDDA team has been working on, and I'm really hoping that this year we pilot this, the digitalization of the community media sector. And so the colleagues have put together the strategy, and part of it is an enabling platform. Including to broadcast, and at this present moment we are looking at Centex Free Vision platform, so you can access that content there, but also a platform to share content with each other.
Yes.
And a platform for other journalists and media practitioners to share the information, and then we could be able to access. Think about it as a PRASA for, not PRASA, SAPA.
I was going there. Why wouldn't they have a hub for content that would be then shared?
Yes. That's one of the projects that the agency, the limitation is resources, but I'm praying that this year we are able to pilot it.
Yeah.
So yes, a SAPA type of solution for community media.
Mm.
And that will assist them to get their news stories, but also share best practices in how they cover stories.
Yes.
But we must also appreciate that community media, specifically the broadcasters, are broadcasting in a licensed environment. So where there has to be a bias towards local news stories, and they need to cover those. We've also seen instances where community media broke stories and they make national news, and there's coverage. But I think that type of a hub will then assist us, and we definitely need to build towards that. Yes, it's true. You know, you see now there's interesting commissions that are happening. You move from one channel to the next. You are still, if you're not seeing the Matlanga Commission, you are seeing the ad hoc
same content
committee.
Really, yeah.
same content, and they're all broadcasting live from this. In fact, what has become even more interesting, you go onto the YouTube platforms for podcasters.
Yeah.
They're also streaming.
Also there, this, streaming.
And I'm like, but Parliament has its own TV. I can go and watch there, you know. So are we seeing diversity or pluralism or proliferation?
Yes.
And I think we see a lot of proliferation. There's a lot of the sameness everywhere. And it's really a call on us as those who are in the media space to say, are we sharing enough diverse stories to help us move forward? Is there a story that's unheard somewhere that has not been told yet that needs to be told? The times that we live in make it look like we have access to so much more information. So there's always an illusion of, nah, that story's already... Because otherwise, if you didn't hear it on radio or see it on TV, you'd have seen it on social media.
Mm.
But if we were creative enough, I think there are so many stories. As you walk out, you walk through the city of Johannesburg, that could be inspiring or even change someone else's view on something. So I do think that we have a lot of information, but there's still stories that are yet to be told, that are unique, that could help us get past certain areas of our challenges, even as members of society. And I think those are often not told. There's also complex stories where things must be explained. We've got the president coming to deliver the State of the Nation address. How does, you know, how does he prioritize what's important, what needs to be put into the State of the Nation address? What has he considered? So what we will see instead will be an episode or an event-based coverage of this is the State of the Nation address. This is what the president will need to focus on.
Aha. So I wanted to go to that. So again, this diversity thing. Part of my bother is why try to outdo Prime Media? Why try to out Prime Media, Prime Media? So I think that the packaging could and should be different, right?
Yes.
That maybe community stations and publications should not be doing what I would still be getting from commercial.
Absolutely.
That they should package things slightly different. I don't care for the same clock that I get when I'm listening to, you know, Metro FM. I don't care for it when I'm listening to Zibonele, right?
Yeah.
Why can't I have dockies more than I should have hourly news bulletins?
Exactly. You know,
which is also costly, by the way. Mm. News bulletins are costly because then if you're going to do it hourly in the same stories, I'm going to walk away from you. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Whereas if they did dockies for me and they packaged things slightly different, even if all I got was that once a day and the rest of the day is music, but I know I'm waiting for this moment where I get some packaging of content that is local and relevant, wouldn't that be much better? Okay, yeah, don't tell me I should do it.
No, I won't. But actually, I think what you're saying is inspiring and calls on a way to innovate in how we program for community broadcasting, including for community publishers. The newspaper's layout is more or less
it
the
must
same.
Change. I don't want to
the
see the same
thing. The cost of production is very high.
Right.
You know, so the reality is that there is a need to innovate. I think for the broadcasters, the challenge is overcoming the license conditions. So you'll find that a typical community radio station's license is licensed to carry out, let's say, 90 minutes of news a day. But I think what you are saying
the
is the 90 minutes doesn't have to be
exactly
doesn't have to be top of the hour news. Oh. 30, you know, like at 30 or bottom of the hour, you have your news headlines. It could be something that's different, and I think that's definitely possible and is doable. Yeah, I should spend more time with you.
Then let's go to the print guys. I mean, how are they surviving? I mean, we don't have City Press today. We don't have Build. We don't. So how are the print community media doing?
You know,
it's
what's
an expensive business.
It is. So print is an expensive business. I mean, broadcasting is also expensive.
It's a vanity thing, actually. It's almost like wine farming.
I don't know. Don't wine farmers
no,
make
no,
money?
No, only 5% of them are.
Really?
Trust me.
Yeah. I didn't know this.
No. It's a vanity thing. You got to have lots of money and just do it for fun.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that. So in terms of community publishers, the need exists. So this, you still have a substantial number of people who want to read. And they want to read in Chitsonga,
Sesotho.
In Sesotho.
Yes.
And some of them would never, there was never a local, a national publication that...
In their language,
that
right?
was published in their language. So there's some connection that's much deeper than just this, just being a print publication. And we cannot overlook the need for communities to have these publications publishing content and news stories in their own languages, but also in the way in which it connects with them the most. Now, the challenge is, how do you ensure that there's continuity here where there is a challenge in that the cost of printing and distribution is very high and sometimes not sustainable? A similar approach we see where you are saying doesn't have to be weekly, for example, a daily. We see publishers publishing quarterly or every second week and then having bigger stories. But what has really shifted is the fact that their cost hasn't dropped. When the commercial publishers dropped their printing presses, it meant that these other ones also must make a plan, because now there's fewer printing press, and the whole cost of that production process has increased. Distribution is easy for communities because you then go into the various communities where you are in to deliver, but you must also be able to drive around, pick up the printout. Sometimes you are picking it up from as far as Durban when you are distributing
and
it.
And
in
the printer
Free State.
That is giving you the opportunity to print says, I can only give you 2 a.m. on a particular day, right?
Yeah. So, like, but the I think we are seeing innovation there. We are seeing publications that are hybrid. So you print once a month, and then you have publications often that you are sending out either online, but you're also distributing via WhatsApp. So I think we've seen really interesting ways in which community media and small commercial publishers are making it work. Is it scalable to a place where we can say the businesses are sustainable? I think the challenges remain. The MDDA continues to support the community media publishers. We are looking at piloting a project where we'll look at a printing hub within a province and how this would work. And
but they
got to
digitize. I mean, we don't need printing hubs in 2026. Digital is the only way. I'm sure even that person who wants to read the vendor has a smartphone wherever they are now.
You take it for granted that there's access to internet and everybody has this. Everyone has. We can do hybrid.
You can go and get zero rating stuff with your service providers.
The approach is hybrid, and I agree with you. The discussions around zero rating community publications and broadcasters,
that would be their contribution.
Yes, has been on, and someone must pay for zero rating. The telcos could contribute towards it, for example, through a partnership with them to say, these publications are providing these services, make them available. But digital, yes, provides a new opportunity and channel to distribute content, but it is not accessible to everyone. The language on digital is English. You set up WhatsApp using English. Content, when it finds and leaves on these platforms, tends to be in English. And that's one of the areas in which we are encouraging community publishers to say, utilize your indigenous languages. We've got a project.
Like Nalona Ruwa Soto on WhatsApp, right?
Exactly. Oh, well, I will not miss a beat or Ruwa Soto. So that's what we are saying, encouraging them to utilize digital indigenous languages to publish content in those languages they are publishing in, and then have it accessible to communities. But we also know that the quality of network in rural and very urban, it is. So there are challenges that exist that still necessitate a hybrid model. So I wouldn't say that we must completely do away with printing. There's still room for it, but we have to support the digitalization to go with the times that we are in. And also looking at how advertising is shifting as well. And we know that that's the revenue model that anchors media in the country, including publishing.
I don't want to belabor this one, but even the advertising, I also think that that community media, again, should stop trying to out-commercial media and start chasing for different income, right? And I think that it may not look like big income, but if you do it at scale, it could be bigger. But let's not go there. Let's talk about MDDA. What's working with MDDA and what is not working?
So the MDDA has an act of 2002. It started its work in 2003. There's a need for us to move with the time. At the time, it defined community media in the way that we community media existed.
Then.
Yeah. There's been many changes. We are here, that's in Lena.
Yeah.
There's you know...
I'm technically community media. I've got my own community.
Yes, of interest. Right? Absolutely. Yes. You know, but at this present moment, our focus is in funding podcasts.
No. I'm not asking for funding.
No,
I was just explaining community
Someone
media.
Someone else is watching.
Yes.
But it's to say that the funding and the support was not geared towards your current online and what's emerged. Facilitated by technology. It was geared towards what was your traditional media at the time. So there's a need for us to look at that legislation because it's an enabler for us to carry out the work that we are doing, to then look at how do we support the sector for diversity and not proliferation.
Yeah.
And how do we improve the quality of content that's offered on those platforms? How do we professionalize the sector? And also, we must look at alternative revenue streams for community media. I wouldn't say they're competing with the commercial broadcasters. It's just the nature of the media business that revenue comes through advertising, yes, through sponsorships as well. And you do have a donor vehicle for community media. But all of those have been challenged because they are very volatile, always very sensitive to economic conditions. Mm. People give when there's more to give. And there's seasons where people give and then they don't give. So there has to be very strategic models built to support the sector. Mm. So I would say those challenges then present opportunities for the MDDA to look at how do we respond to the challenges the sector is facing now. But also we must look at our own challenges to be sustainable, where the majority of our funding is dependent also on the profit the commercial broadcasters are making. We are dependent, yes, as well on the resources that we get from government. But are there opportunities to partner with other organizations to support the sustainability of community media, whether through the interest in skills development like your CETAs or businesses interested in the economic impact of community media? We've got the local government elections coming up. We know that community media plays in that space and it's a key player and role player. Are there opportunities to then partner with organizations that deal specifically with democratic projects within that space that then enable communities to participate in the local government elections? So these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. What's working at the MDDA? I think for a long time, the agency went through a number of challenges, including vacancies on the board or including on management. And that led to some level of questions, I think, which I can't shy away. If you Google the MDDA, you will see them. But we've entered a period where there's stability in leadership. The MDDA achieved a clean audit.
Mm.
Now, we don't take this lightly in public entities.
Yeah,
Amanda. Because a clean audit is an outside assurance that says there's controls in place.
And if I'm going to be funding you, I want to hear that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. And so our work is to ensure that these are institutionalized and that they aren't incidental. It's a lot of work. So we've really seen a move towards stabilizing the organization and improving the operations and efficiencies within the organization. And now we need to look at answering that question, which I was saying. There's these changes that need to happen. But we've continued to support community media, even through the challenges. We've provided capacity building initiatives. Our partnerships with the private sector have continued. And I think when you look at Mazazingana Segilimani TikTok, when I look at broadcasters, the pride I have when I see a community broadcaster, they've uploaded a video of themselves.
Exactly. Right?
And they've got their logo, and then there's the MDDA logo, and there's interesting stories that come out about their own journey and the enabling technology that the MDDA supported them with. And so for me, I would say the MDDA is in a good place. We can progress from here in and continue to build. But we must also not overlook the importance of the governance in, infrastructure or the governance framework, which would include your board and how the it discharges its duties, but also the vision that sees community media as professional entities that really make a contribution in the country.
Yeah.
Yes, contribute as well to diversity in terms of ownership of the media, control and
pluralism.
Hey, Batung. So I think for me, it's exciting. I think we are in interesting times. We definitely need to see more digitalization of the sector. And I think that will help us see a different type of community media in the country. And we need more partners to bring this to life. But to mentor young people who are entering into the business. But also we need to start measuring at rent value, the economic impact. Community
that was
media
my
is.
Last theme. Are you measuring the impact of community media in the spaces where they operate? Do we know? Can we tell that the graph has moved this way because of that?
Yes. We
are
going to, our financial year starts on 1 April. One of the commitments we've made is to produce two research reports. One is a media diversity index. Have we achieved the media diversity index, or are there media deserts in the country, communities where there is no
nothing.
Media at all?
Yeah.
There is
and
nothing
I'm sure
at
they,
all.
They exist.
Yes. And then that will then help us to say we need to invest in these areas with media literacy so that these communities understand why media is important and they can start their own media projects and look at what else then the MDDA can support them with to enable that. Are there areas where there's over-indexation, for example, of the media? You look at the number of community broadcasters in Gauteng. In fact, even the commercial broadcasters in Gauteng, you know, if you want to be famous, you want to be on radio, you come to Gauteng. But is there...
It's a melting pot.
We had Zeba. Our parents came here, but we're Makarapa. So if we could encourage various other communities across the country, across all the nine provinces, to start getting into the business of the media, could we then see more of these podcasts coming from those areas instead of the concentration we now see in Gauteng? More of these, even bloggers coming from those areas. So that's the one research output we are looking at. And the economic impact that community media has in communities. That's another research project that we'd be embarking on. Because we are also needing to make a case for continuous investment in community media.
Yeah.
And why it's important for us to ensure that these projects are supported and that the initiatives that we are implementing,
and finally, are you having fun? Are you enjoying your job?
You know, in my previous work life, I used to say, you know, so when it got tough, I was ready to go and head my father's cows. I'll tell you, the MDDA has taught me that. So what I've had to appreciate is msebetsi wa ho sebeletsa setjhaba. South Africans have great expectations from our government.
And right,
we can think whatever we want to think, or but no, there's great expectations that government will fix things. And you are right, yes, rightly so. You are le basebetsi ba setjhaba. Mosebetsi wa rona ke ho netefatsa gore re phethisa mosebetsi ona wa setšhaba ka tshehetso. And I have enjoyed the support of the board at the MDDA, which has really enabled me to focus on delivering on the work that needs to be done. So I'm having fun. Ke ntse ke di hopola go motsang date empantse ke re che modirisa o di hlokometse gore e re bentse ke di sa mona magulong ana ka mona ka Gauteng le nna nke ke bona go na taba dia jang. So I'm having fun. Ke bile ke no
but le di bua pe ho bua wena pele. It's a fixed term.
It is a fixed term. It's a 5-year term. I've done 2 years now. Okay. So 2 years,
but it is
one
renewable.
Month. It is renewable. Okay. I do think that there's minyetla for other people to also contribute once we get to that phase. So my focus really is to bring the digitalization to life and also ensure that we put in place systems that enable the professionalization of the sector through capacity building.
Well, Bon, I wish you all the best. And I also pray that, you know, these livestock of stations and papers that you're working with don't cause you too much stress. You know, my own guys, because I'm one and I have money from the lotto missing and stuff like that. It's not your money, but you don't want your sector to be implicated in stuff like that.
Lotto money is everyone's money. So.
Right? It's our money. Mm. But most importantly, we need community media not only to grow, but to survive, to stay strong and be on their feet.
No, absolutely. I think they play a big role in the democratic project, and we must take them along with us. And not be afraid to hold them accountable. You must account for these resources.
I hope they also look at you. I should have said this before conclusion. I hope they look at you and they try to emulate. Because also, diversity also means gender diversity, right?
Absolutely.
It's very important. I mean, all these station managers and editors are male. You know, in all these stations, I mean, at least from a radio station you're with, you're the boss. We'd like to see more of that, right? Because diversity is also there.
Absolutely, yes. Gender diversity is also important. And I think it's one of the areas we also have to emphasize when we look at the composition of management at the community stations, at the small commercial media publishers, that they need to represent what they stand for as well. And it is true that there has been some, you would say there's, you know, over-representation of male, for example, in station management leadership. But you do see some upshoots in certain areas where women are thriving. And I think that's something that's to be celebrated. How about we do a community media project around August focusing on young women in, it doesn't have to be young, it can be women in community media.
Exactly.
And then we recognize them.
Right.
There's a workshop.
It's very important. And then show what they bring into the game. Because,
absolutely,
you know, this thing of ignoring what they bring in is kills me. They bring amazing stuff into the game.
Yes. When I was at Lady Skills, I was at Lady
Chalet.
But I think let's make that
on that note, Joshua Ku, Chief Executive Officer of Media
Development and Diversity
Agency, MDDA. Please look them up. Please follow Community Media. These guys do amazing work because they've got problems. They also report to government. You know, they challenge there. But
we don't report to government.
But they're also funded by government and stuff like that. Yeah. And I'm sure they can't even be critical of government like I am from time to time. Thank you very much for watching this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please continue to subscribe, to comment, not on my page, on the YouTube page itself. And then, of course, to share. From me, Rams Mabote, goodbye and God bless.